I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Stephon Marbury is a really interesting guy to me because it does remind me of what's happening with Carmelo Anthony right now, in the sense that the guy who's from New York, played in New York, didn't get it done in New York, has become a little bit of a villain in New York now, and when it's his hometown.
They blame it on him, the fact that he didn't get it done?
Yeah, I mean, he was not. I mean, at the very end, it was just...
got ugly?
It was bad. Yeah. You know, between him and D'Antoni, and then it just didn't work out. And then he goes to China. He's beloved over there.
Right.
And I remember seeing an interview with him. He's like, why would I ever go back? They hate me there. They love me here. So, and here he is. Look at this. Stephon Marbury walking into the studio. We're live.
Hey,
what's happening?
This is Brian. Sorry. Get out of your way.
What's up, man?
So, Stephon Marbury is here. He's going to talk to some NYU students. And Starberry is back, too. So excited to talk to him about that. So you're going to have a Q&A with incoming students at NYU.
What are you going to tell the students, man?
Go to China.
If they want to.
Learn Mandarin right now.
If they want to, they can come. Definitely.
So I think about you and your relationship with New York now, because it's got to be complicated, right? Now, I grew up in New York. I love New York. I love the Knicks. I loved when you were on the Knicks. And you are a New Yorker. You played for that team. It ended ugly. And now you come back. You're still a New Yorker. But what's your relationship with the city right now when you come back?
My relationship with the city is... it's always been the same. It hasn't changed. I mean, I think with basketball during that time when I was here playing, it was a tough time. That's what I would say. It was a tough time. But we moved past it. And, you know, I came back to New York. I went to the Garden when they played one of their last games. And they recognized me. And, you know, it was cool.
They didn't treat you like Oakley.
Nah, I didn't get treated like that.
Any regrets on how it all ended for you here with the Knicks?
No, I don't have no regret. I mean, everything that has happened, I mean, you know, it happened and it's over with. And, you know, it was part of a learning experience.
How did you find your way to China?
Man, God. God, man. I mean, for me, it was an amazing opportunity to go and play basketball abroad and to build my brand. It gave me opportunity not only to play basketball, but it helped better my life and going someplace completely different.
Did you ever think it was going to work out the way that it did? Did you have expectations when you headed over there that were completely different than the way it played out?
None. I had no expectations at all. I mean, I went over there completely open-minded. I went with, you know, an open heart to basically love and to accept something completely different. And things turned out to be pretty cool.
How quickly did it take you to get acclimated to a foreign culture? And did you go by yourself or did you have someone in tow to from America that could, you know, you could lean on being in this foreign land?
Yeah, I went with someone the first year. I was only there for about 67 days the first year. The second year, I was there with my cousin. Third year, I was there with my cousin. And then from then on, I pretty much was there. I've been there by myself.
Gio and Jones with Stephon Marbury in studio talking to some NYU students. And Starberry is back and excited to see that in the States. Very successful in China as well.
How many black people were in China when you went over there?
I mean, there's black people over there. You'd be surprised.
I know. I got some buddies. You'd be surprised.
It's a lot, of black people over there.
You like walk down the street like, hey.
No, we got that universal.
Over here.
Yeah, universal hand now. That works wherever.
Yeah, you said that. What up?
I was telling Gio, that's all we got to do is that. We don't have to know each other.
So, can you put into words what it's like to be in a foreign country and be as beloved as you became over there? What is that like?
I mean, it's been the most amazing experience of my life, being able to be recognized in a country where there are over a billion people, let alone one point, whatever they say. It's about over 300 million people that play basketball, which means that's our whole population. Everybody's bouncing the ball in America. And to be recognized and to be one of the guys who have made an impact in basketball and in sports there has been pretty cool coming from America. It's, you know, my story is very colorful. There's a lot of ups and downs. I will assume that a lot of people thought that my career would have ended, you know, in a plane crash. But, you know, we came down and we leveled off and went right back up and started to soar. And I credit that through my faith, my family, everybody staying positive and sticking with the dream. You know, we had a mission and going to China to learn about the sneaker business, and we did. You know, we are now, you know, in City Trends. We're now getting ready to relaunch our e-commerce platform on a completely different scale at Starberry.com. So, you know, a lot of positive things. You know, we just now put ourselves in a position to do a deal with another company here in New York, and going into some of the local stores like Vims and Dr. J's and hopefully Kohl's and just all of the low tier stores that give people the opportunity to have access to buying products. So, you know, we're trying to make a difference.
Three-time Chinese Basketball League champion, and you helped bring a championship there for the first time in 20-some years. I think it was 29 years. Mm. And so that's when they started erecting statues for you. As far as the business venture with Starberry, I played with a guy, Tim Brown, and he attempted to develop a shoe, or he developed a shoe, but it got no traction, really. How difficult of a task was it for you to develop Starberry and then get it out there in the marketplace?
It was extremely difficult. I think for me, you know, going into Stephen Barry's, it was the beginning of a promising time. But, you know, for me, you know, when things went south, when they filed Chapter 11, you know, we weren't able to create that access for people anymore, which put us in a position where we had to try to figure out something different, a different route. And going to China was definitely not part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But when that happened, it opened up so many doors, and it gave us an opportunity to learn. You know, it took me 10 years to get to where I am right now as far as trying to build my own brand and, you know, trying to do it with limited capital. I didn't come into the game with a company like Under Armour.
Right.
But they came in with different people supporting the brand. I've been doing this on my own, you know, and I think for where we are right now, we don't pat ourselves on the back. We just look at it and say, wow, we came a long way. We learned a lot through this journey, you know, not only just playing basketball, but trying to build a company globally.
Is that one of the messages you want to impart to the young men and women you're going to be speaking to at NYU, that, you know, this is a journey and it's mm-hmm. not going to happen overnight? There mm-hmm. will be pitfalls,
yes.
There will be peaks and valleys,
yes.
But if you believe in what you're doing, you have a great product, mm-hmm. you can still be successful.
Yeah, I mean, you know, products it doesn't cost that much to make, you know, and what we're saying is, you know, you can buy products for $150, $200. We're just saying that this is something that we're creating for people to be able to mm-hmm. say, you know what, there's a brand out there, there's a company out there that will be there, and they want to be a part of my life for the rest of our lives mm-hmm. by giving us that opportunity to be able to buy something at an affordable price.
These are some very inexpensive shoes, and they look good, man. These look pretty good. I'm on your site right mm-hmm. now. I mean, you're talking
Starberry.com.
Yeah, from $50 all the way down to $14. Mm-hmm. And they look just like everything we're walking around in here in America.
Gio and Jones and Stephon Marbury in studio across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Do you look back and think about your NBA career a lot these days?
Nah, I really don't.
You don't?
I mean, when you got a museum, two statues, green card, you know what I'm saying?
He got a museum.
Yeah. You don't think about that stuff.
That's
you look
what
at
I
that
thought.
As it, look. You look at it as it was something that was supposed to happen, and it was a great platform to build something internationally. You know, we look at the NBA, we look at the NFL, we look at NHL here in America, but I think now because of social media, you know, the games are shrinking. More and more people are, you know, they have access. You know, mm-hmm. little kids on high school playing on live right now, you could go watch and see because of, you know, the way how technology has transformed our lives. The game is changing. You know, everything is changing.
How well known were you in China when you first went there?
I wasn't well known at all. to be honest. I mean, people knew who I was, but, you know, the guys that were really well-known were guys like Tracy McGrady, Kobe Bryant, you know, those guys. They, you know, Kobe winning championships and Tracy McGrady playing with Yao Ming. So every time, you know, Yao made it to the All-Star team, you probably would see Tracy McGrady or Steve Francis or one of the other stars because, you know, when people vote from China, they vote for Yao and they vote for the other guy that's on their team. So, you know.
What's in the Stephon Marbury Museum?
You know, it's funny. My mom, since I was a little kid, my mom collected all my trophies, my plaques, my MVP trophies, medals, you know, from Olympics, Junior Olympics, so many different awards that I won over my life. And, you know, when they said that they wanted to build a museum, I was like, man, what am I going to do? All of the stuff. My mother was like, yeah, see, I kept all your stuff. And what I did was I shipped everything that I had, every trophy, everything that I've accumulated over the years. I shipped it to Beijing, and it's all inside there now, and people get an opportunity to see all of it. Pretty cool. All
right, man. I see a pair of shoes I want, but they're sold out. High stepper, blue, green. When are they going to come back online?
Everything is going to be up in about another 90 days.
You going to make some more?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
it's definitely, I like that. Be fresh. I dig that color. All right. I want to be funky fresh. All right. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's why we say in Texas, we'll be funky fresh, yo. Okay?
Yo, man,
I ain't from Coney Island, but also, you know what I'm saying?
I want to send all of my prayers out to all of the people out in Texas that are struggling through this natural disaster. It takes so much air out of you when you see these things. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about my mom, you know, at 75 years old, trying to be hoisted up and put inside of a truck.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing this stuff, man. It breaks the heart. And, you know, we just got to continue to be supportive and not only pray, but, you know, be as supportive as we can. And I just wanted to say that.
Absolutely. And it really is. Every time we see the images, we have it on the TV right now. It's hard to believe. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe watching it on TV. Yeah. I cannot imagine being there and dealing with this. More with Stephon Marbury coming up next. We'll have a quick bogus update. Plenty more with the Chinese superstar and the man who created Starberry next.
Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Stephon Marbury in studio for another segment with us. A quick sports update from Andrew Bogish, and we'll get back to Stephon.
Greg, let's recap Harvey's impact on the sports world. The Astros and Rangers will play this week's series in Tampa Bay instead of Houston, and Thursday's preseason game between the Texans and Cowboys officially moved to Dallas. Far from that, Ezekiel Elliott's appeal of his 6-game domestic violence suspension heard today here in New York. The Cowboy running back expected to testify under oath. The Detroit Lions have signed Matthew Stafford to a 5-year extension. It reportedly includes $92 million guaranteed, $50 million of that coming in a signing bonus that averages $27 million annually, which makes Stafford the highest paid player in the NFL, beating Raider QB Derek Carr by $2 million. He got that deal just last month. The Jets have named Josh McCown their starting quarterback, but why, Todd Bowles?
Just a lot overall to give us the best chance to win right now.
Jeez. Resounding endorsement from the Jets.
He gives them the best chance to win. He got over them pancakes and points, so, you know. He's a leader in the locker room, and we just make sure we keep the syrup away.
He hasn't changed, has he? That Todd Bowles, no media training for him, I guess.
The CFL will not allow the Hamilton Tiger Cats to hire disgraced Baylor coach Art Briles as their assistant head coach for offense. Baseball last night, the Indians a 6-2 win in the Bronx. Corey Kluber went 8, retiring the last 9 Yankees he faced. The Red Sox winning in Toronto 6-5, ending a 4-game slot. The Angels 1 game behind Idle Minnesota for the second AL wild card after a 3-1 win over Oakland. And Max Scherzer came off the DL to strike out 10 Marlins over 7. His Nats won that game 11-2. Guys?
Gio and Jones and Stephon Marbury on CBS Sports Radio. He is in studio with us, and he's going to be talking to some NYU students on the day that they move in. And also, Starberry is back here in the States, starberry.com. Brian's been browsing that now for a good 20 minutes, and he is into it, and you will be into it as well. When you first made your trek over to China, were you angry at all with the way things had gone down in the NBA? Was there any grudges being held in the beginning when you went over there?
At that time, you know, I didn't have an opportunity to really feel that. You know, I was depressed during that time. I was dealing with losing my father, and I was just trying to create some balance in my life during that time. Basketball came about. You know, I had the opportunity to play again, and it was the opportunity for me to build my brand. Stephen Barry's at Foul Chapter 11. I just had a lot of things that weren't going in the right direction for me at the time. So when I went there, you know, as I said, I just went there with a completely open mind. I just wanted to play basketball, and I wanted to build my brand. That was my mind frame and my mindset. And, you know, when I was there, I didn't have no preconceived notions about what could possibly happen. I just was going to do something different.
So were you initially repulsed by the idea, or were you open and had a clear mind and clear head about the opportunity from the outset?
Nothing was clear. It was just the opportunity about playing basketball and building my brand and getting back into a realm where, you know, I can start doing something, because I was really in a really depressed state, mm-hmm. you know, after losing my father, my aunt, my coach, all of those different things at one time in 1 month. It was a lot, you know, and it had a big effect on me as time went on. You know, we all grieve completely differently. So for me, during that time when I left, you know, I was just in a mind frame of, I need to do something. I have to do something different.
How did you get to a point where you could pick yourself up after all that stuff was going on and get out the door? I mean, was there a time where you just didn't think you could embark on something else because things were going so poorly?
It was a time where I didn't want to do anything. You know, I just wanted to just sit still, be by myself, be with my own thoughts, and not deal with it in a way where it was like it became a thinking thing. You know, it started to become, I have to do something. Like, I can't just sit in this space and continue to live the way how I'm living. I have to continue to move forward. And in order for me to move forward, playing basketball was one of the outlets, because that was something that I loved to do. And trying to get back into that realm, you know, you got to sweat, you got to work out, you know, you haven't been training. It's a variety of different endorphins that start to come alive once you start doing that. And once I started to do that, which one of my friends, Wayne Hall, I'll never forget, in Texas, we was in Houston, and I was going through a tough time, and he was like, come on, man, you got to go work out. You know, when I wanted to just lay in the bed, and he was like, nah, man, you got to get up. You got to keep going. You know, and when I continued to do that, I had the opportunity to see myself again. And once I started to see myself again, that's when I was like, all right, I could do this.
Another great message for the kids.
Yeah, man.
Another one.
They picked the right guy to talk at NYU.
Either you curl up in the fetal position or you get back out there. Get back on that horse. Now, as far as the brand of basketball that's played in China, compare and contrast to the basketball that's played here.
I mean, it's completely different as far as the talent is concerned. I mean, you're playing against the best players in the world when you're playing in the NBA, and playing in China, you're playing against the best players in China. I think the game is growing, it's elevating, the talent pool is getting, you know, it's more sophisticated, as I would say, because the kids in China are training like some of the kids in America. And mm-hmm. they train for at least 5 to 6 hours, you know, 5 days a week. So for them, you know, they're in a onward and upward motion and learning the game and growing in the game, but it's going to take some time.
You still keep in touch with some of your former teammates, or is that just a life that you don't pay attention to anymore?
Yeah, I keep in touch with some of my teammates.
Yeah, you do? Yeah. I feel like you've had so much fun in this new life that you're like, I don't even care about these people anymore.
Nah, man. You know, I had a great experience playing in the NBA, although I had some tough times, but, you know, the tough times, they only last for a little bit. They don't last forever. I think for me, the whole experience and the whole journey of all of what I've been through, playing basketball and the ups and downs. I mean, it's molded me and it's helped grow me in the way that I needed to grow as a man living right now and doing what it is that I'm doing. Without those experiences, I wouldn't have been able to make some of the decisions that I'm doing now that are, you know, constantly driven towards helping people.
Now, have your communication skills evolved since living in China? You more versed in Cantonese and Mandarin?
I mean, I can say some stuff and
say
I can understand.
Ni hao,
ni hao, ni hao, ni hao.
What's her name? What's her name again?
I think that's hello.
Is it? Wen Lin. Yeah, that is hello. Everybody say, oh, Wen Lin, Wen Lin. What are Wen Lin doing? I'm like, no, it's not Wen Lin.
What are we hooking up, girl? That's all I need. That's the first thing I want to learn when I go there. How you say, when we hooking up?
Oh, my goodness. You in China is dangerous, man.
I'm dangerous anywhere. Definitely in China.
There would not be a Brian Jones Museum in China.
No. Penitentiary, maybe. That's about it.
Penitentiary.
That'd be a penitentiary.
Jen, Gio, and Jones, and Stephon Marbury. What's your proudest accomplishment in your life?
My proudest accomplishment, I would have to say first winning the high school championship. You know, winning the high school championship for me in New York City. You know, my brothers, I mean, all my brothers play basketball here in New York City for Abraham Lincoln. And all of them fell short. And, you know, I had the opportunity to win the championship, and my little brother was on the team as well. So we both won the championship. So my older brothers, they vicariously lived through us.
That's great, yeah. No, I mean, you were a big deal in being a guy who paid attention to all sorts of New York basketball. I mean, you were like the biggest deal back then. It's a cool thing. And to play for the hometown team as well.
Exactly.
I mean,
experience. No one can take my experience away from playing in the Garden.
Yeah.
No one will never take my thrills away. The Garden is, I mean, no matter what, it's still the most special place and sacred ground in basketball here in New York City.
Hey, I was one of those guys cheering when I heard, you know, you hit a three, Stephon Marbury. Like I was going nuts in my little Nike Swingman white number three jersey up in the roof because that's all I could afford. You know, I mean, I was there with you, and I think that even though the Knicks have gone through some brutal times, there's still good memories in there. And
always,
yeah,
always. You always can take the good. You always take the good.
So when you look upon your career and the future of it, how much longer you plan on playing, and you still feel like you have a lot of life left?
Yeah, I'm. This is my last season playing as a pro. There are other leagues that are out there that I'm interested in. I like the Big Three because the Big Three is going to the Olympics. So I think, you know, there will be opportunities for guys to be able to exploit another horizon in basketball and in sports, especially on a global scale. So I'm just keeping my options open. I'm 40 years old. I'm still in shape. I'm fit. You know, I'm mentally focused. I know what I want to do. I know the game of basketball. So I have a lot of positive things going in my direction as far as me being able to still play basketball at my age. So
now, will you still bounce back and forth between the States and China once
China
you hang
is home?
Up?
That's always.
That's going to be home.
Yeah, no, it is home.
Okay. Oh, it is home.
Yeah, it
my
is
bad.
Home. It's home. This China's home and America's home. These are my two places where I live at, and I enjoy it. I really do. It creates, you know, really good balance for me.
Let's get him ready for some of the questions he might face at NYU. All right, so it's tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern time. You're going to be at NYU speaking to students. All right, so guy raises his hand in the front row. You still hate Mike D'Antoni?
No, I don't. I don't hate anybody.
Okay. All right, there you go. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. You got one?
How much money you make? None of your damn business.
He's supposed to ask.
I know. I'm going to answer for him, but that's what I say.
I'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. None of your nosy bastard.
All right. Steph, I'm a guy who has not had a lot of luck with the ladies. I'm moving into the dorm. What's your advice for me?
Do they homework.
That's it. Huh? That's interesting.
Good one. Can I help you with your homework?
You need help? I know how to do that. I was listening in class. You came a little late.
So there all
Exactly. Now I got a business venture, and I'm looking for some investors. Will you take a look at it?
No problem. We can look at it. Right. How can we help each other?
That's right. Yeah, there's probably not a college kid freshman right now who can help you with anything. I don't.
You never know.
You never know.
That's why you're successful. Because yeah. That's right. Yeah, you do never know. Are you comfortable up in front of a bunch of kids and speaking to them? Because a lot of people don't like public speaking, and here you are imparting your wisdom on them. Is that an uncomfortable thing?
Nah, someone did it for me. And it's just all part of the give back. It's part of you obtaining the knowledge and experience and you passing it on. You know, when I was younger and I heard so many different athletes speak and talk about life, about sports, about whatever it is that they spoke about. And, you know, I was the kid that was always sitting in the front paying attention and listening, you know, so that I can learn. And for me to be able to speak at NYU, I mean, it's high praise and high honor. I'm elated to be able to do so, and I'm excited about it.
So when you come back stateside, because I imagine you spend the majority of your time in China?
Yeah, most of the time.
What emotions are you overcome with when you land back here in the United States?
At first, it was a little culture shock for me when I came back after staying for a whole season and coming back to America, because you see mostly Chinese people every day. Mm-hmm. So when I came back to America, it was like I was seeing so many different.
Oh, there go Pookie!
I was seeing different faces every day. Now it became completely strange to me, and I was like, why is this, you know, happening? But culturally,
attention, this is foreign. Different. And then that is...
When you live in there, you're seeing it every day, it's just completely different. It's not the same. And, you know, Chinese people, everybody pretty much, they have the same type of facial features. It's mm-hmm. not like you got black or you got Spanish people or, you know what I'm saying? It's not like that. It's completely different.
See, that's why I need to go over there and help them with the diversity.
No, listen.
I'll help them out with the diversity.
They don't need any help,
yes,
man.
Yes, they do.
They don't need your help.
We don't want everybody with the same features. Okay? I got this. My calling.
We have about a minute left with you. What can we expect from Starberry in the coming months for people who are interested? Starberry.com.
Well, we're going to be in City Trends. That's one. Starberry.com, brick and mortar for City Trends, and trying to go into other outlets such as Walmart, Kohl's, JCPenney's. We're seeking Journey. We're seeking all of the big distribution companies. And for Starberry.com, it's about the revamp and it's about the change. It's going to be pretty sweet. We're going to have a nice pre-order section where people will be able to pre-order things just like they pre-order on Nike or Adidas. And setting up that whole platform. We're excited. You know, it's looking really promising. We have baby clothes now, and I'm making some baby clothes.
Oh, wow.
I have a grandson, right. So, nice. You know, I was inspired by him. And he's a monster. He's big. He's... You know, he's a beautiful baby, and he's inspired me to do baby clothes at an affordable price for people because the babies grow so fast.
Yeah.
So you got to buy new stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And I have three little ones. So, you know, I understand and I get it. And my daughter now is experiencing it.
Wow. It's amazing.
Make him a customer for life.
Yep.
Hey.
Start him young.
Try.
Listen, it's great talking to you. Congratulations on everything.
Thank you so
much. And I've always been rooting for you, and I'm very, very happy to see all the success that you've had.
Thank you so much.
I'm rooting for some high steppers in blue and green, side 13, okay, damn it.
I'll
pay for them. No, I don't want to be free. I can afford these prices.
Yeah,
come on.
That is true. All right, Stephon Marbury, we're coming right back.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
What's going on in Houston is continuing to get worse because it's just not stopping. The storm has stalled above that area and continues to dump massive amounts of rain on areas that are already in disaster zones, catastrophic flooding, to say the least. There's been some criticism out there of certain entities and people with their response to this. One was the Texas Rangers with the Houston Astros. We discussed that earlier when they did not want to swap the home series. Now they're playing at Tropicana Field as opposed to doing the swap that the Astros had suggested. And also yesterday, an odd story. Joel Osteen, who is the guy who is the televangelist that many people know, who Brian right. was giving his commencement address at UT, and he was in the front row, and we joked about trying to get him on to
right.
to give a grade on Brian's speech, and we never did. So he was getting crushed yesterday because he has a 16,000-seat church.
The old Summit, where the Houston Rockets used to play.
Right, and it's called Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
So he apparently was saying that, or somebody from there, they were reluctant to open their doors to victims that were seeking shelter.
Right.
So there was someone who got in touch with a spokesperson and said, no, we're open. If you can get here, you can be here. We're not turning anybody away.
Right.
So there was conflicting reports about this.
Well, there was a lot of criticism on social media, as you might imagine. And just today I saw where he has made the church available for evacuees, and so they have opened their doors.
Yeah, and that changed overnight and after the criticisms. Well, I don't know if there was a point where he flat out said no to the city or no to anybody, mm-hmm. but, I mean, that was the understanding yesterday afternoon and last night that he just was yeah. not letting people in there. So I don't know how true it was, but he is now, the doors there are open, and he said, we have never closed our doors. We will continue to be a distribution center to those in need. We are prepared to house people once shelters reach capacity. So I guess he was basically saying that the shelters are doing a great job now. When you need us, I guess we will be there for you, but we don't want to become a shelter at this point. He also, I don't know.
That shouldn't have been said either. If you need us, we're here. No matter what's going on at the shelters, our doors are always open and will be open for those who are in need. That yeah. should be the response.
So they are now preparing. There's some air mattresses in there. They're getting some supplies in there. They're preparing for the place to be a shelter for right. some of the overflow. But you know, whether all of this was true, that he had said no at some point or someone said no, I mean, it's just it's a bad look if
right.
you don't come out right away when you're this guy and say, whatever you need. You know, whatever it is, and not like we have to wait a little bit. We have to mm-hmm. do this. We have to do that. He did put up a donation site. He said, go to lakewoodchurch.com/relief. But, you know, people are angry and they want to pounce on someone who's got, you know, a $10 million house and this giant mega church, and then it doesn't seem like he's helping. Now, I don't know if that was the truth or not. I don't know, but I do know that they are preparing now to help. So it's a step in the right direction. But it did, you know, as they say, the optics. That's one of those buzzwords. The
yeah.
optics yesterday for Mr. Osteen were definitely
right. Yeah,
not good.
If you're saying if you have all these prerequisites to opening up your building for those in need, you're going to have bad optics,
yeah.
and there shouldn't be any prerequisites when you're dealing with a natural disaster as they are there in the Houston area.
Yeah, and guys like him I don't like to begin with. I'll just be completely honest. I mean, it seems like you're preying on vulnerable people and making a crap ton of money for it. Like someone who does something like that and then doesn't take all the money for himself. Like, I feel like when you're preaching, you shouldn't be gaining that much of a monetary gain from it. I don't know, it works against each other. That's just the way I feel. I feel like you look at your congregation as a sucker, a group of suckers, when you buy a $10 million house. I mean, it doesn't seem like
you're selling something, and I don't know if he necessarily labels himself or sees himself as a, you know, one of those televangelists or what. Because I've listened to some of his sermons, and it's more of pep talk, if you will. Even though there are biblical references here and there, so I don't know how he necessarily looks at himself. But he's made a ton of money, and he's selling something.
Well, he's a religious guy.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no doubt about it.
True. I don't think all of them are cut from the same cloth, and he does make a boatload of money though. And, yeah. And it's not like he's holding a gun to anyone's head. So if you're willing to give it to him, that's on you.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But it just it seems hypocritical to me when you have the $10 million.
The law is saying empty your pocket right now.
Right. Like, you know, if you're really someone who's looking to help people, maybe just take the $2 million.
Stop.
Not the $50 million.
I need a new jet, Creflo Dollar.
Creflo Dollar is one of my favorite references that you make.
I need a new jet.
All right. Earlier we had the Hawaiian snowball in here, Sean Marash, who was wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
I don't feel right.
He was wearing a Hawaiian shirt, the producer of the DA show, who has like iron lung because of construction fumes. I don't know, debris that he's been sniffing in.
Let me just jump in right now. Stop the joking. Because this is now serious. In fact, we're going to seal ourselves into this room and not leave until things are figured out. Because there are two other people that have the same symptoms
what?
As Sean.
Wait. Hold on.
There are two other of our colleagues who sit right out there where we all sit in the morning that are dealing with the same thing.
You got to be kidding
cough,
me.
Cough, congestion,
well, this is terrible now.
Flumminess.
Wait yeah. a second. So, all right, let me just, if you missed it earlier, there's a ton of construction that's going on here in our newsroom adjacent to us. They put up these big tarps, but, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that's happening because we're not a place that can shut down or move our operation. We have to do the radio shows from here. And Sean Marash went to the doctor. He was sick. He thought he had strep throat. He said, no, this is something that we see in construction workers. Mm-hmm. He had work done in his bathroom at his house, so he thought that that was mostly the culprit because he said he was going to give this place a pass. Now there's two other people that work out there that have the same symptoms?
Ben Horowitz, who's part of this show often when either Peter or Mike is out, and James Graceffo, who's here to run WatchDA.com, both apparently under the weather with the same exact symptoms as Sean.
And they're not just joining this fight because it sounds good.
I don't think there'd be time for that. I think Sean, maybe even Pete. Pete's been sick since the beginning of last week. Pete might be patient zero.
Well, Pete is, he's always looking for something like this. This is Pete's Super Bowl.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ridiculous.
I mean, this really is. This,
in all seriousness, I have been had a little cold, but I'm not going to blame it on this place. But
I've been feeling a little under the weather. I'm blaming it on this place. Yeah, I'm calling my lawyer as soon as I get off here. You hear that? Coming.
Which,
to get
wait,
you.
Which lawyer handles?
Oh, the black one handles okay. this.
Okay. Oh, yeah, no, you got yeah. no.
No, I'm going no, with the black
got,
one. No, you got a good track record.
No, don't.
I'm telling you.
No, this is a job for the Jewish guy.
No.
No, I think it is. This just, it feels like that. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He speaks their language.
Yeah. This is all garbage. So you don't
buy
believe
any of this. It's a bunch of out of shape radio people.
I am not out of shape.
You're not.
I can't breathe.
Wait, time out. Hold on. Sean's out of shape. Ben is not out of shape.
The other guy is.
Who's he?
The James character.
I don't know who that is.
I don't think this.
See the guy
real.
Who looks like the critic, John Lovitz.
Yes.
Who?
Artie Lang.
It's one big coincidence. I don't buy this at all.
But what if it's not?
You hater.
What if they all have a cold is basically what Mikey B is saying.
Everybody here is run down. They work too much. They're out of shape.
They don't take care of themselves.
Brian, they don't take care of themselves, and I think it's just a coincidence.
Well, that may be true. They don't take care of themselves.
Yeah, but, I mean, is Sean sick all the time?
No.
Amen.
I thought that
he's
was
not
live.
Really.
I mean,
and he sounds terrible. I'm sitting out there across from him right now. He sounds awful.
But the doctor said that it was from construction, Mike. That's the doctor.
Right.
I feel fine.
Okay.
Can I sit out there?
So I feel fine.
I just think it's an excuse. I don't think...
Maybe it's not affecting you the way that it's affecting them.
Yeah, maybe you're tougher than us.
Yeah.
People have different bodies and react differently.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They do.
Some of us didn't take body by Biseglia, so we're more prone to germs.
That's their loss. My gain.
Now, what if it were true, though? What if this was affecting the employees? You wouldn't feel bad for them or be concerned for your own health? I mean, don't we need to take this seriously?
That would be a problem.
Yeah, right. So just, I mean, let's just keep the door open here.
No, don't. Keep the door closed.
Now I'm like a little bit concerned.
I don't feel too good.
Come on.
I'm serious.
How much time do you spend in that newsroom? Seriously.
A lot.
Well,
what?
The time you do spend there collecting whatever might be in the air, you then pass on to more people than any of us combined because of all your hugging and high-fiving and
groping. Man, I can't help but want to hug you. Why are you so damn jealous about people hugging me?
I'm not jealous.
You always bring it up.
For you. Yeah.
Can't help it. People don't gravitate to you.
This is like hour one. Someone at some point is going to rein you in and make it click that maybe it's not us. Maybe it's you.
Maybe it's me.
Misbehaving.
The lady I hugged this morning, did she approach me or did I approach her?
She did, again, because
she
now
approached me.
It's like Stockholm Syndrome. They know to give you the hug.
Right.
To
or
get
else.
Out of the way. Yeah, all
right.
Let's get this over with.
You said, hello, sugar.
So was-
While you were coughing up blood from the construction.
She felt bad for me because I was coughing. And then she grabbed my buttocks.
Oh, no. She
did.
Did she?
Yeah. That was between us, though.
That doesn't help our case.
It does. I'm going to HR right after I call them.
All right. They'll laugh at you.
So how far can we take this? Have we walked over there into the construction zone and just started breathing in all the stuff and get sick? You think we'd is that going to hurt our lawsuit? Or
all those dudes are all covered up. I mean, they've got masks and goggles
on.
There's a
reason
they're
covered
up. Sitting out here, wide open spaces.
Yeah.
Having
big old
stuff
petri dish
down on top of us.
Wow. Yeah. On a serious meter here, how serious are you? Scale of 1 to 10.
It's got like a 4 now that there are other victims. Potential victims.
Oh, man.
Why is Mike angry as if he owns a construction company?
Well, yeah, because he's big on the take care of yourself and you won't get iron lung. Like, I mean, sometimes that Ben Horowitz is in better shape than you are, and
that's
he's fine.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Definitely true.
Oh, no, no. Everybody in the show.
Everybody else. Pete,
definitely.
Ben.
Definitely
oh, Pete, shut your mouth.
Everybody says that.
Y'all
Ben's
suck.
Been much better.
Gio and Jones, we'll talk to you tomorrow. We're still live, CBS Sports Radio.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.